Thank you, Lord. Praise be to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for a great, wonderful evening this evening. Father, we come before your throne and yield everything that we have to you, Father God, and we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you are our God and you guide us and direct us through everything that you want us to do, Lord. And we will do and try to do everything, and we know we'll do it because you are the one that's going to have it good. And we pray that your will be done in our life. And Father, we let your holy fire, let that holy fire come into us and burn out all the dross that's in us. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, that there is no dross in us. We walking, talking, and acting just like Jesus. Glory to God. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Father, for getting rid of all of that stuff that's been in us for so many years. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome and wonderful night because we broke the power of the enemy off of each and everybody that comes in tonight. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that everybody that needs a healing, deliverance, provision, protection, whatever it is, Lord, we'll receive it if they'll speak up about it tonight in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your angels are on the job, and we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I thank you, Lord, that we're kicking down the gates of hell around us, and we thank you, Father, that the angels are helping us all to walk this walk and talk this talk. And we thank you, Father, that everybody gets on here tonight. It's going to have an awesome, interesting time in Jesus' name. I praise you, Father, for uplifting me because it's been a long day for me. But, Lord, I know that just one little thing, and you've already done it. You've already lifted my joy back up where it's supposed to be in my peace in my heart. And I hope and I pray that everybody here has the same thing, that we have joy, peace, and understanding in you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So, anybody got a prayer request? Praise God. I'll tell you what, we got to talking earlier before we started, and I was kind of down, but now I'm up. Glory to God. I mean, I am pumped. My goodness. All right. Yeah. That devil's on the run now. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? I thank you, Lord, for setting a watch before my lips to speak on me as you want me to speak and not as I want to be, as my old self wanted to speak, Lord. And I thank you for that. Glory be to God that we speak only the oracles of God always in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Hey, Vanita. All right.
Don't mind me. I just have to do some dishes.
Okay. All right. Praise God.
I've got dishes too, Vanita. You want to do mine when you're done? They're in the sink. Waiting.
Yeah, Missy, go ahead. Listen, let's try to do something before I get started here. I'm going to raise my finger when I talk. And then y'all raise your finger when you hear me. I have just talked. Oh my goodness, that's about 3 seconds. Let me try something else. Can you hear me okay? Okay, let me try something else. All right, can you hear me now? Okay. I don't know. I'll have to figure it out some other time. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I wanted to ask for prayer about something, but I also have a repentance confession to make. Father, forgive me for speaking anything but the end from the beginning concerning my husband, and only speaking blessings upon him. And I thank you, Father, for setting a watch before my mouth and a door before my lips. And as Michael was saying, only speaking as an oracle of God, that my husband, I have spoken positive, but I need to do it consistently and not speak anything negative. I walk by faith and not by sight. My husband is a mighty man of God, and he loves the word of God, and he's free from all the power of the enemy. And he's walking in the light. He has the walk of Jesus, the talk of Jesus. He has the works of Jesus. He has the mind of Jesus. He has the eyes, ears, and mouth and heart of Jesus. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for a mighty man of God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Praise God. Can y'all hear me now? Can't hear me? Okay, it's okay. Okay. Well, it seems like it's perfect. Glory to God, it's perfect. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Amen. How about a testimony? Yes, Julia. I couldn't see your hand up. Almost the same color as your
background.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I have a little testimony. Just, you know, God just is so good, and he reminds you of stuff when you didn't write it down. So I went to the grocery store today with the idea that I was going to pick up. I had a list. I had everything written down, but two things. And I thought I would just remember those because that was the purpose I was going up there, the main purpose I was going up there for. So I went around the store and did my, got stuff down and back, you know, back in the store, got my dairy, my eggs, and heading up to produce. And I got the stuff I got in produce, and I got my chips, and I got everything, had everything in my cart. Go through the checkout, had coupons, scored my coupons. So thank you, Lord, for all that. And I was just praying in the spirit and doing all these things, walking out to the store, get around to the corner of the store, and it dawned on me, it's like, oh, I didn't get my cans of Rotel tomatoes. And I'm like, oh, I got to go back into the store. So I carry my bags in the store, da 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 da. I'm like, they're on this aisle over there. But I just asked the produce guy, because I know he knows. He's been there. It's like, where's the Rotel tomatoes? He's like, he tells me, and I'm like, okay, thanks. So I go down there and get my tomatoes. And I'm like, oh, I forgot my black beans. Thank you, God. I forgot my black beans. Go through the self-checkout, did it again. I'm like, thank you, Lord, that I did not get all the way home or even halfway home. And he reminded me, it's like, you didn't write them down because you thought you'd remember. He reminded me before I got too far. So you're awesome, God. Thank you for doing that for
praise
me.
God.
Amen.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the grocery store to get a particular item. I come back with a basket full and forget the item I went for. Yeah, I don't do that no more. Praise God. All right, Cheryl, go ahead.
Blessings, everyone. The rains came through here, I think, on that Thursday before. They were telling us to evacuate and everything. the rains came. And when I first moved here, we got a lot of rain back here. And I was worried that it was going to be pretty bad, especially when they were going to, well, we prayed against them opening up the gates, but they opened up the gates to Conroe, and it didn't come here where it normally does, because they do that every time we have a lot of rain and it floods. It flooded all around us, but we were high and dry, and there's property right behind us that is like 3 feet elevated where they've cleared it and put dirt in, and We got some rain, I mean, some puddles, but nothing like it was, like it was when I first moved here. So God kept us high and dry, and it only, the ditches, the deep ditches at both ends of the street were full, but the ditches in front of the house was clear. And I just want to praise the Lord and thank him for, keeping us dry. Well, not dry, but out of puddles of water.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your angels keeping that water of Ruth and Shara. In Jesus' name. Hey, man, that's awesome. And we got 3.5 inches last night. Some strange thunder, though. That strange thunder, it seemed like it'd start way over here and just keep rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling all the way across. You know. And of course, lightning just all over, you know. But the thunder was what was weird. I've never seen it that way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It just start over here. It's just a slow rumble. And just go all the way across.
That's the way it done here.
Did it?
Yes, and it was bright, big flashes. And a lot of times whenever you'd see lightning, you would later on hear the thunder and everything. But this didn't really have much sound. I mean, there was some sounds. They were very loud. But the majority of it were just bright flashes and weird looking.
Yeah, it is. It's I've never seen anything like it, but some of that stuff, manipulation. Yeah, go ahead, David or Alina.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, girl.
Michael, you talking about the thunder reminded me. praise the Lord. Yesterday, you know, it was kind of storming throughout the day. And my girls both, like, they didn't want to leave my side all day because of the thunder. And they were kind of scared. And then it took a break for a few hours. And when we were getting ready for bed, I heard that the thunder started slowly rumbling in again. And so I was just talking to the girls that, you know, they don't have to be scared, that, you know, Jesus lives in their heart, they're protected, and, you know, anyways, and I was just, you know, just sharing all this stuff with them, and I prayed with them. And I was like, so don't be scared. Don't come running to our room at night. You know, you're going to be okay. You're going to sleep in your bed all night, you know. And I prayed over both of them. And praise the Lord, it was thundering the entire night. I had to cast fear off of me. And I felt like a hypocrite because fear was coming out to me. And I was like, oh, no. my girls were sleeping and I was getting fear.
Oh, my.
But praise the Lord. It left me, too.
Praise God.
And this morning when they woke up, this morning they came running to me. They were like, Mom, we're not scared of the thunder. Jesus protected us. We're not scared anymore. And they were just so happy.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for protecting all of us. Keeping that fear ain't got no, it's not coming into our house. In Jesus' name, never coming into our house, because we know who's with us. That's an enemy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Amen. Fear ain't got no place in our house, does it? Yes, they are. Those girls are overcomers, Julie said. Awesome. Praise God. Yep, they are. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or testimony or just got something they want to talk about?
I can ask Michael.
Hey, Joe.
Morning, everybody. I have a confession and a question, but I can only ask if somebody's prayer request is finished. But my confession is on Wednesday, just after the fellowship, I had a dream. When I wake up, I was so sure about the dream. It was correct. And I didn't ask for a confirmation. That was my first mistake. Yeah. Well, I did go to a people on a bookstore and talk about the Lord. But Bayan, I'm sure Bayan, once safe, always safe. Well, we're talking a little bit about the Lord. And I get into a conversation I shouldn't have. But at the end of the day, Bayan tell me that we talk about the prophets. And I was talking about my dream. And Bayan said, no, dreams, it's a scary thing. That's from the devil. You get away from that. There's no more prophets and all this. And the verse by talking about using that, overusing it, says there's no prophets and there's no dreams. You must look at that. It's Hebrews 1 and 2. So I was on my way back. I have to stop at the place and I took some time for prayer and I confessed all my to the Lord and I chase all those religious demons out of my house, and I feel better about this, all those things. So my confession is this, and I ask the Lord for forgiveness for getting in a conversation I shouldn't have about the religion and not of the Lord. So that's my confession, and I just do it all before you all as well. I shouldn't have done that. Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
You talk a little bit about Hebrews 1 and 2, why they said that's prophets and the signs, everything has gone away. It's all finished. Okay.
Yeah, we can talk about that later on. Yeah, we could do that. I got to look at it first. We'll read it. All right. Hey, Matt. All right. Anybody else? Y'all ready to get fired up? I got a song I want to sing. I'm going to have to sing it with her, though. Nicole Mullins.
Go for it.
All right. Hang on just a second. Let me see here what's going on.
Michael, it looked like Matt also got his professional microphone. He's also going to sing for us.
You ready to praise us some more? If we don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out, and I don't want them crying on my behalf. You ready to sing? All right. Help us sing now.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
I will praise you all my day.
You're perfect
We praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. If that didn't get your juices flowing, you need to get saved. My goodness. All right. There's Nick. What's up, Nick?
I am feeling better. 100% right. Better.
Yes, you are. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all practicing tonight?
I'll be back to work tomorrow.
Okay, good. Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you one of the new rising stars of praise and worship music, Matt Stewart. What's up, dude?
Not much, Michael. Just getting set up for tomorrow night.
Okay, great. I figured that's probably what y'all were doing. All right.
There's that Chuck and Brandy.
Hey, Brandy. Hey, Brandy, is your truck running okay?
Yes, sir.
Is it running okay?
Oh, yeah. Praise God. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah,
praise
God. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Who's that with you? Is that Caleb Oseguero? Wait a minute. I got that wrong. Oseguero. Hey, who is that? Is that Anna? All right. Hi, Anna. All right, has anybody got anything, comments or anything going on? Man, I feel 1,000% better than I did about an hour ago. Praise God. Woohoo! All right. We're going to talk about tonight. We got three things. Somebody, who was that? Somebody said something about Hebrews. That was Joe. Hebrews 1 and 2. What was it that you wanted to talk about on Hebrews 1 and 2? Is that both chapters 1, chapter 1 and chapter 2, or is that Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2? Hey, Joe. Yoo-hoo.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
Oh, okay.
They use that verse as there's no prophets and there's, you can't, you mustn't believe in any dreams. All the science has gone away. It's now only, they said, if I give you the Bible, there's nothing else. You cannot go, there's no dreams, visions, and but it says, where is dreams? It means in the Bible. That's a Yahweh. That's gone away. That's past. So I just wonder why they doing that, show that verse for that 1 and 2.
Is that the scriptures that they came up with?
Yeah. They said 1 and 2. But,
really? Okay. All right. Anybody want to give a go at it? I'll read it first. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers and the prophets by diverse portions and in diverse manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. What did they say when they read that? That ended the prophetic, the prophets?
Yeah. And all the signs. In other words, about dreams and visions and things. Yeah.
Really? Have they read the rest of the New Testament, I wonder? I don't know. Has anybody got any idea?
I understand why. But...
I don't know why they would do that. Go ahead, Andrew.
Did he say there was an end of signs also?
Yeah, dreams and visions and things, yeah.
And signs too?
Yeah, I'm not sure about it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, Benita. Well, wait a minute. Andrew's still looking at it. Did you have any more you wanted to say, Andrew?
Well, there's 4:11 of Ephesians. Like, if he's saying there's no prophets, then why is he telling these Ephesians that there is, any gate? I'll have to read from 9. Now, the he ascended, what is he? But he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. Who descended is the same that also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all. And he gave to some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body. So if he's saying there's no prophets, then who's going to give us the exhortation, the edification, and the consolation, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14?
1 Corinthians chapter 12 also.
Yeah, well, yeah, because and you know, the prophecy is even mentioned in chapter 13, the love chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mentioned, I even think twice there. But if he's going to say there's no more prophets, then how is anyone going to get, if there's no dreams, then what about Acts chapter 2? 2:18, I think.
I don't need that. Acts chapter 2, verse 18. Yea, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, in those days will I pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes. That great and terrible day.
Yeah, I realize that some people are pre-trib or mid-trib, but if he's going to come, then someone's going to have to tell us what's going on. Anyways, yeah, so...
Well, he tells us in...
That's for science.
Yeah, in 1 Corinthians... Four.
And you know, there is that verse that Simeon, the old guy, said about the baby Jesus. So that's pretty early in your walk, people, that he's a sign spoken again. And in Isaiah, he talked about a sign in 8 and 18, that we're for signs in 8 and 18, and we're supposed to have the testimony bound up bind up the testimony of among my disciples. He's binding the testimony of Christ in you, and you're his disciple. So, and that's 16, 8 and 16, and we're four signs also. And we don't want to be spoken against. So people need to pray for some of these people because there's so many things now that are going out that. And I thought they should be prayed for. They need prayer.
Well, I can see. Listen to this, Andrew. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, listen, this is Paul talking. He said, "Now ye are the body of Christ and severally members thereof. And God, who? God has set some in the church, first apostles," they don't believe in any apostles anymore, "secondly prophets," they don't believe in prophets anymore, "they believe in teachers," "thirdly teachers," "then miracles," they don't believe in no miracles, "and then gifts of healing," they don't believe in no healing, "helps, governments, and diverse kinds of tongues." They definitely don't believe in tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly. What does that mean? That means you want these gifts. So they're in quite a bit of error there. Just in that one verse, and like Andrew was talking. Go ahead, Andrew.
It does say in 2 John, "Who that goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ." And I don't want to say that about this person, but it does say something about that in 2 John. And you need to have, if they're not going to abide in all that teaching that you just read and everything else that was said that's in the Bible, then you need to pray for such people, right?
I've actually heard preachers talk about taking Paul out, all of his writings out of the Bible, said it doesn't need to be there because it goes against their religion. And that's what it is. It's a religious spirit. Yeah, Missy.
I believe I've heard people say that all that was for, like, to get the church going, you know, or something like that, you know, and that it no longer, you know, exists, you know, it's no longer relevant. But what came to me, you know, is this: God has set some in the church first, you know, apostles, blah, 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 like you were saying. And, you know, it says, and there's another place I recall about, you know, that the there's, you know, the Great Commission, you know, for one, you know, go into all nations and preach the gospel, you know.
Heal the sick and raise the dead.
Right. But what came to me is God set some in the church, and what popped in my head was, is okay, is the church no longer relevant? Is the church no longer exists? Yeah. Hello? And that's what came to me. You know, it's like, now wait a minute. You can't have it both ways.
Well, like Andrew said, we just need to pray for these people. And that's the reason we're coming into this time we're fixing to go into. Go ahead, Benita. Wait a minute. Hang on just a minute. Andrew, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Well, I just wanted to mention about our eye. If the lamp of the body is the eye, and I was told the hearing is the teaching, so what's the eye for? You know? So the eyes are prophecy, and, you know, to
Does this mean we're not supposed to warn anybody anymore? Exhortation? I'm not warning you, Tim.
Amen. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Go ahead, Vanita.
No, what I've heard also is kind of like Missy said, all these gifts were there in the beginning of the church to get it started. And at that time, they didn't have the word, this whole New Testament. And so that got it all started. Now we have the New Testament, and that is the complete revelation of God, of his son. That's the entire revelation right there. We don't need any more revelation than that. It's all right there. But they do say, like it says in later times, there will be prophets, your husbands, your men and women will prophesy or whatever, you know. So that's coming. But right now, this is a full revelation and we don't need prophets and dreams and visions. So that's the way it's been explained to me.
Did they give you verse and scripture?
No, it's mostly just the apostles. There were just those 12 apostles. There aren't any more apostles, even though you can count 25 or more, you know. It's written right in there, but they just say there's just the 12, and when you bring up somebody like Paul or any of those the New Testament disciples and apostles, and you use them as examples for how we're supposed to be, they're like, but that was them. That's Paul. I can't be like Paul. That was Peter. That you can't expect me to be like Peter. I'm like, what? No, those are just people. They're just people that have Christ in them. They're not any different than us. But to them, in their head, they're special and they're like anointed, and we can't have those gifts that they have because they were specially chosen to have those gifts. But no, I don't.
Well, for heaven's sake,
Peter was a fisherman. There's not really any verses that go with it. Yeah. It's that whole, they missed that Christ in you, the hope and glory, you know, that it's not us, it's Christ in us. So that's what makes us special.
Yeah, I know. Lord, we thank you for the deception that's going to be obviously done away with in the days ahead. Father, because the signs and wonders of the man-child ministry and the bride are going to bring people into the truth. And I praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord. Quit that, Anna. Get me sleepy here, girl. All right, anybody else? It's a deception that they have latched on to, and the Lord God Almighty is going to fix it. I'll put it that way. He's going to fix it. And how he's going to fix it, he's going to get them out of those apostate religions that they're in. And God's people are going to be showing them the right and the right way to go. And that is with holiness. And when you've got holiness, all the gifts are available. Prophetic, everything that was listed that we just talked about are going to be available to those that are out in the man-child ministry and the bride. And they're going to see it and they're going to say, uh-oh, that preacher's been lying to me. Who are these people? Well, these are the true men and women of God that you're going to see out there. And they're going to come out of them by the droves. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for getting them out of those crazy apostate religions that tells you that God doesn't speak to people anymore. The angels don't do this. You know, all of that nonsense. There is no prophets anymore. Well, that's amazing to me. I had a, well, I ain't going to go into that. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, after the love chapter, it tells you that you should desire God.
Yep.
And but my question is, how are you going to get the revelation gift of discerning of spirits? Then, you know, because you know, a discerner of spirits is going to have to know a little bit about prophecy. I like these gifts, they're supposed to bounce off of each other the same way the fruit is, too. If you have faith, it's got to work at love. And if you have the gentleness or the goodness, it has to be by the faith that work at love. So how can you have discerning of spirits without any prophecy on how to... or even a word on how to discern these spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits to see whether they're of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the... Well, let's throw that verse out. We can't talk to John anymore. He's an apostle. So, I don't understand that. Like, he's telling you to be kind of discerning false prophets. So, I guess he thinks... if you take them all out of completely, then you it's got to be my way or the highway, because my prophets are right. Or where's the discerning here? You know, if the John the Apostle is speaking in accordance to God's word, then how do you discern? Beloved, you know, beloved's got love in it, and that's agape style. So. It means you're filled with it, I guess. And beloved, believe not a spirit, but prove the spirit to see whether it's of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not is the spirit of Antichrist. So how are you going to discern between Antichrist and Christ? Because that's what I don't think that Christ is the false prophet. So Christ is the true prophet there, and he's the one. You know, he's the one that speaks from within us. You're supposed to be an epistle known and read of all men. So you got to have something written on that epistle. And it has to circumcise the flesh off of your heart through the Spirit of God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And if that's going to happen, then something's going to come off and something's going to stay on there that's correct. You know, and if you're supposed to discern that, how are you going to discern which one is the false prophet and which one is... Anyway, I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If there's no prophets, then how are you going to discern who just edified, exhorted in a wrong way? Anyway, again, people speak what other people say. These people have to be prayed for. They need God. They need God to help them. We have to consider that these people have repeated a saying without really investigating it. And they might not know how to discern it because they're already told how to discern it. So. Yeah, so
Well, let's go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I keep thinking of all the seven churches. You know, some of the people say, well, our church age is the seventh church. You know, there's some truth to that. But you're dividing all the other cities from that seventh church. And they're all have to be discerned. You know, how do you discern even the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I can't see how you can get rid of something that would build a person up in love instead of puff them up in love. Because that's 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And how you would get, how you would come to the conclusions of what it's actually saying on the Sermon on the Mount, or how these seven churches in Revelation would even apply for us today. And why do they have all these different parameters there that would show that something that could still happen today for us? You know, why is Babylon mentioned in Revelation? Unless you look at the former Babylon and you can collate something. Or Jezebel, for that matter. So, I don't know why he's saying these things. He should check his voice. Because it could be damaging for some people. But again, may the Lord be merciful upon this man.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that your truth will come out in their lives, and we praise you for that, Father. Lord, you know, something that I was thinking about just now, if Paul was wrong in that, what was he wrong about the new creation? Was he wrong about salvation? Was he wrong about all those things in Christ and all of those other things that he talked about? You got to ask yourself, you know, if you're call yourself a Christian, are you really a Christian? A disciple is a what? He's a follower of Christ. He does what Christ did. What did Christ do? He did everything we just got through talking about. He prophesied. He did all of those things. Okay. So it's just a bunch of nonsense that they come up with to keep them on the once saved, always saved road to hell. All right, anyone else? All right, let's see here. Sunil asked last time, how do you know that you have received the Holy Spirit? How do we know that we have received the Holy Spirit? I could say it in one word, but I'm going to let somebody else do it. Yeah, Ben?
You want one word, it'd be faith.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. One word. Yeah, Nick's got it. Let's listen.
Baptism.
Okay. All right. All right, Julie.
Change of heart.
All right. Let me ask it this way. How do you know you're saved? Go ahead, Julie.
again, I think it's a change of heart. You know that God did something different in you. You're not the same person. That's how it was for me. I just knew he was changing things about me. How I thought, yeah. How I felt, what I did, conviction of sin, you know, and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, Vernita.
Yeah, I think the difference is like when I was saved, I had the change of heart. I knew I was born again, a new creation. But then when you prayed for me to be filled with the Spirit, that you were emphasized right there, just believe it. It's by faith. You believe it. You accept it. And you know it. You just have faith for it. And don't doubt. Don't have any doubt or unbelief. You have faith for it, and it's done. And that was the difference between the two. And then, of course, you know, you get the gift of tongues, too, by faith. You just believe you have that also. Just believe for it.
Amen. Everything that you want as a Christian comes by what? Faith. Our walk is by faith. If we are baptized, if we want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we ask God for it. He said, ask me and I'll give it to you. And then all we have to do is believe it's done. That's faith. That's what you everything I walk. When you came to Christ, you did it by faith, believing that you were saved. And you do the same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You believe that you have received by faith. Sometimes there's a feeling, sometimes there's not. And we don't go by feelings, we go by what the Word of God says. You believe that you speak the what is that? It's all by faith. Everything is by faith. Anybody got a? Now I know that some people when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, immediately they go speaking in tongues. Yeah, the end from the beginning. Thank you, Sherry. You immediately go to speaking in tongues. I wasn't that way. It took me a little while. But when it came, I was believing for it. I was believing for it, thanking God for it, praising God for it. And when it came in a rushing mighty wind, so to speak. You know. But that's everything that we do. How do I know that, let's see. How do you get anything in our walk? How do you get provisions? How do you get protection? How do you get anything in our walk with Christ? It's all by faith. Everything is by faith. You speak the end from the beginning. Well, thank you, Lord. I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. I did that for, you know, a few weeks. And before I came into, boy, when it came with a pour, the pour down. And some people don't get that. It might just come a word at a time, you know. Then all of a sudden, God just turns it loose. Absolutely. Yeah. You can have faith. If the Word says it, you can have it. That depends upon your faith. There's a lot of people that get prayed for healing that don't receive it because they don't have faith. They're not enduring in their faith to see it manifested. That's what I'm saying. Does that make sense to anybody? Yeah, there you go, Julie. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it's impossible to be well pleasing. So praise God. Any questions or any comments? Everything comes from faith. We're believing for the man-child ministry. Comes by faith. We're believing to be in the bride. Comes by faith. That's the walk we have. I believe it. Y'all believe it? I believe it. Glory to God. Tell me something. It doesn't come by faith in our walk with Christ. Am I speaking to a tree? I'm just wondering. Okay. All right, Nick, go ahead, brother.
Sin actually doesn't come by faith.
What's that?
Sin is not part of faith.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, it comes automatically, don't it? Because that devil's sitting right there waiting. Yeah, come on, Nick. Let's go ahead and tell him, you know, that you can go out here and do this sin if you want to. Now, you're right. That's a good one. Absolutely. That devil's always on us, ain't he, Nick? He's our enemy, though. Thank you, Lord. All right, Ben.
It's mostly asking Sunil about his question. Are we asking, are you asking, can we be in an unrighteous, here, let me ask a question. Can we be unrighteous in sin and have faith? Like, have faith in being overcome, to like overcome our sin, or to have faith even though we're unrighteous? What's the question?
I don't know. You're talking, so you tell me. I don't
understand what he's asking. No, I'm asking, like, is he trying to overcome what he's in sin about, or is he? I just don't understand the question.
Michael, Sunil put a question in the chat.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'm
Sunil
sorry.
Put a question in the chat. That's what we're trying to address.
Could we have faith for one thing but not another? Is that the question?
Can we be unrighteous in sin and have faith?
Where is that? Oh, okay, I see it. All right, anybody want to answer that right quick?
Thank you.
Yeah. You want to answer that, Ben?
Well, faith in the sense... Oh. Well, God, you answer that.
Put it off on Dad. There you go.
He's telling me to say it.
Chapter 6 of Romans. Chapter 6 of Romans mentions it twice. You know, I can understand that if you don't know something's sin, you might still have faith until the Lord corrects you for sin. That could happen that way, but we're supposed to be free from sin. Says it twice in the reckon yourself dead to sin indeed. So, you know, he went up to that cross and he took them all. You know, he didn't leave any left. You know. But, you know, we have to catch up, and we want that. We want to we want Christ to take over us completely and take the place of our old man, so that we could only live the new man. And to do that, he took all our sin away. So, unless he's posing the question that you might not know, you might have an ignorance, or you might have a sin, an error, well, that you have to confess, you know, and he cleanses you of your sin, and, because you don't want anything to do with sin, you know, you are free from sin. Reckon yourself dead to sin indeed, and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Or you can do the 2 Peter 2:24, where it says, he carried our sins in his body up to the tree, that we being dead to sin. That sounds like 6:11 again from the moment. So we are free from sin, enslaved to God, bearing fruit unto sanctification, unto eternal life. And he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. So we confess through the word if we have a sin, and we're free from sin again. It's not that we're sinning intentionally. You know, sometimes a person can sin because he might be being attacked from a few different sides there. Everything's just too much for them, and something might, I don't know. If you want to avoid it, you don't want any part of it, you know. Yet a little while, and you'll see me no more, and then you'll see me. And because I live, you shall live also. That's what you want. That's what you want, because they didn't understand it when Jesus said it, but, you know, and some people think that it's Jesus coming alive from the cross, but no, it's Jesus coming inside of you, the inner man. You know, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about you'll see him again, because I live, you shall live also. And that's what it means. You know, he's some people will read that in John and say, well, yeah, that's when he died on the cross and then he rose from the dead and he appeared to them. No, that's the new inner man that we have. That's the Christ in you. Because I live, you shall live also. And this process of livingness has to increase in us as we bear more fruit in Christ, from 30 to 60 to 100 fold. And, you know, that's, you know, there's the woman who gives birth in 21 of them. There's something really to that. You know, there's something real special about that verse, because what's going to happen there is it's a total overtaking of a person. That birth is a manifestation of Jesus all the time. It's the Christ in you, manifested, shining forth from you. So it's a new resurrected life. I think it's called out resurrection. I'm not sure. I was going to ask that question about Philippians 3:11. Anyway.
Well, all right. The question was, can you be in sin and still have faith? Of course you can. Of course you can. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? Did we not cast out demons by thy name and do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These were sinners that were doing the works of God. But they were in sin. They weren't bearing the fruit of Jesus. You have to be bearing the fruit of Jesus in order to make it in heaven. Yes, you can be in sin and still have faith. It's not, it can be hard at times, but once you get callous to the sin, you know, faith comes automatically for healing and deliverance and those kind of prophecies, prophetic word. Does anybody disagree? I mean, I'm open. Could we ascribe those miracles using demonic sources? I don't know, Sunil. I don't think so. He's not going to bring his own kingdom down. I'm not sure I understand the question, but that's what I think. Or can y'all hear me? Because I don't see any reaction whatsoever. Okay. Thank you, Andrew.
So what you're telling us is God doesn't take away the gift that he gives a person.
No.
But and you can have faith for the gift. So what are you saying here then? If these people are manifesting things that are because to me it seems like what they're lacking there is love and faith.
Yeah.
They're lacking the love of God. And no, God is love.
Thank you, Jesus.
He that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. So we want to obey him. And I guess that person in chapter 7 is. Has iniquity. Iniquity is not a good thing to have. So I guess the answer to that question would be yes. But then again, you need to have real great discernment about what's going on for such a person to actually believing he's manifesting gifts, but he's lacking in the fruit.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Yeah, I never thought of that. That was a good question to me.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of people out there, just like Andrew said, that are doing healings, they're doing deliverances, they're having prophetic words, but they don't have that LUV. They don't have, they're in iniquity in some kind of fashion or form. And I remember, this always comes back to me when somebody talks about sin and was Howard Pittman's testimony. It was a Baptist preacher, building, doing, getting people into church, doing all that kind of stuff. What did the Lord tell him? That was your doing. It wasn't mine. That was your doing. What'd you do for me? And he gave him a second chance. How many of them didn't get that second chance? The best thing to do to find out, as we all know, this is something we all know, is study the Word of God. I hang around people that know the Word of God. That's why I hang around David. He knows the Word of God. Both David Timberchuk and David Elsmo. Look at both of them, men of God, mighty men of God. All right, now you're trying to be humble. All right. We love you, David. All right. Sunil, those were good questions, actually. They were real good questions. Did you have any other kind of questions? Could we ascribe those miracles using demonic sources? I don't know what that means. Does that mean, can we do those with demonic sources? Well, the enemy is not going to go against himself, so I don't know. I wouldn't think so. They could, I guess. I don't know if they want to keep you in deception. But God's laws are there. If you got faith for something, God's going to do it. Yeah, Anna.
He had asked that question right after you said, Michael, about the people being cast away from the Lord's presence.
Yeah.
Depart from me, I never knew you, even they said, but we prophesied by your name. And so I think he's referring to that group of people, because that's when he asked the question.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't see that chat until somebody misses it. All right. Yeah, Lena. I'll get you next, Vanita.
I don't know if this will answer Sunil's question, but I remembered a testimony I listened to. This lady, she was like in the New Age and like other stuff. And she would heal people, but she ended up coming out of it. So like it was her testimony. But she would say, like, when she healed people, whatever they had would actually come onto her. And so, like, the more she was, like, doing for others, the worse she was getting and more sick. And, like, the curse just kept going on her. So, actually, like, never actually left. But so I don't know if that answers anything, but, yeah.
Huh. That's strange. Yeah. I wouldn't be healing folks if that stuff was coming on me. I'd quit that right away. I said, wait, whoa, 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 hang on. You're sick, go to the doctor. Leave me alone. I don't want that demon on me. Yeah. I don't doubt it. The demon's got to go somewhere. He figured, well, heck, here's an open gate. Let me go here. Okay. I don't know, Lena. I don't know about that. Go ahead, Vanita.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know a lot of times when people, when they speak in tongues, one of the questions is always, well, how do you know it's of the Lord? How do you know it's the Holy Spirit and not Satan or some other manifestation in you? And I mean, to me, my heart, I always feel like, well, you know, the Lord chose me. He loves me. So if I'm speaking in tongues, it's a gift from Him. And why would, and I'm just going to have faith for that. Because I don't want, I mean, if I'm born again, then, I mean, He loves me. So why would He give me that gift if He didn't love me? And it's got to be from Him. And that's just what I have to have faith in, because, I mean, maybe I'll get to the end and He'll say, I never knew you, but I'm not going to have faith for that. Why would I want to have faith for that? You know, I'm going to have faith that I'm the elect and He chose me and He loves me and He's given me this gift and it's of Him, period, end of story. That's what I'm having faith in.
Yeah, amen. I'll tell you a story that I ran across. One time I was in a flea market, outdoor flea market, and I ran across this young man who was messed up. And I went up to him and I said, son, what's wrong with you? Is there something wrong with you? He said, he started talking. He's talking real slow. He said, yeah. He said, I asked a preacher to pray for me to receive the Holy Spirit. And ever since then, I've been hearing voices in my mind. And right away, I knew what had happened. He had gotten a hold of somebody that was full of demons, a so-called preacher that was full of demons, to pray for him. And he imparted those demons to him. And it like to drove him nuts. And he was with a church that did not believe in that. So I guess the reason I tell you this is that when somebody wants to be laid hands on by somebody else to receive the Holy Spirit, be sure, you know, that you have, you know, somebody that is holy and walking a sinless life. And I know that's hard to determine at some times, but you'll know them by their fruit, won't you? You'll know them by the fruit. Best thing to do is ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's the best thing to do. But you can ask people that you know that are walking a sinless life to pray for you, and you can receive that Holy Spirit. By the way, I prayed for him later, a couple of weeks later. I got run out. That's when that church run me out of there. Because they called me heretic out there at the flea market for trying to pray for somebody. Anyway, I right on the doorsteps of their denomination, the boy got delivered of that demon right there. But yeah, I've run across men that were on dope, speaking the devil's language in tongues, speaking in tongues. Anybody ever seen that? I mean, it was the time that Paul Rimmel came up here, came to Little Rock with me, and we had an outdoor meeting in this yeah, that was a long time ago. Came up and he had been on dope, and he was, and we said, you know, he started speaking tongues. I was sitting there praying in tongues. And he started preaching in tongues. I didn't know much, or talking in tongues, the devil's tongue. It was a good gracious. It was awful. But anyway, yeah, they can speak in tongues too. The demons got tongues too. They're imitating God, trying to. Looks like everybody froze up. My gracious. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That everything we do is by faith, yeah, Benita.
Daniil also asked further up if you can have faith for some things and not for others. I don't think we answered that question.
Yeah, you can have faith for some things and not others. People do it every day. People, there's people right now that are having trouble with healing because they don't understand how healing works. You got to endure in your faith to the end. To the end of what? To the end of your trial, till it comes. Sometimes it happens automatically. A lot of times it does. A lot of times it doesn't. I've seen it happen an hour later. I've seen it happen 2 hours later. I've seen it happen 6 months later. But it will happen. I prayed for a guy one time who was in a wheelchair and broken his back in several places in a car wreck. Motorcycle or car, I forget which. And I didn't hear, but maybe 3 or 4, 5, 6 months later, that he was completely healed. Amen. Yep. All right, Chanel, let's see if I can understand what you're asking here. John 9:31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth, said the blind man whom Jesus healed. I didn't understand that one. Hang on, let me get... My question is this. Is this truth? Well, if it's in the Word of God, let me look that up. Is the context right? I don't know. 9:31. Go ahead, Anna.
I just wanted to throw out there that I've heard David say that what God does through a person for others is not necessarily any manifestation of their life. Like if a preacher is in sin, but he might use that man to heal others because God is having favor on those other people and they have faith. Or, you know, he uses that man to, you know, do things for other people, for the people, because God loves the people. And it's not necessarily, he's not necessarily doing it for him. And that's just something I've heard David say.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Anna, for bringing that up. I know of a guy. Well, I'm not going to go into all of that. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I think regarding Sunil's question, is it, if he's asking, is it true that man, that God only hears, that God does not hear sinners, but if any man is a worshiper of God, him he hears. And if I remember that story about the blind man, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were all accusing this man who just got healed of being born blind. You know, he hears a living testimony that this man was healed by Jesus. And they're accusing, you know, Jesus, they're accusing the, you know, this blind man of being a sinner, and Jesus was, you know, the blind man was trying to like, does God do miracles for somebody like this? I mean, like Jesus, he's innocent, right? I mean, who does this? You know, it was kind of like he was like really slapping the Pharisees. Duh, you know, I mean, he did a good thing. Does he hear sinners? Because they were accusing him of being evil. That's how I read that, you know. So God hears cries for mercy. You know, we're all in sin. Does he hear our cries? Yeah. Mercy, God forgive me. You know, I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question, you know.
Well, the thing you have to look at is the whole context of the whole, you know, New Testament and solidify it with two or more, you know, verses that say the same thing. So what I see right now is that, God uses people to help his people. He might use somebody that's in sin, like we talked about earlier, to get them healed, to get them delivered, whatever. Somebody brought that up. Yeah, absolutely he'll do that. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I remember, too, you know, God wants to encourage us in our faith. So we're not perfect, except by faith. But God wants us to go out there and be disciples and pray for people. you know, who are sick. And I remember the Lord saying, I mean, David saying that the Lord, you know, will bless that because he wants to glorify, you know, his name. If you go out there and you might be making mistakes and you don't know what you're doing, that God's going to heal a person because they came, you know, you tried and, you know, you went out there and tried, you know, did your best and prayed for somebody. You fumbled over your words, but God did a miracle and healed somebody. You know, because he just wants you to be encouraged to keep doing it.
I'll tell you what, you're exactly right. Somebody that's starting out, going out there and healing folks and praying for them, he'll see miracles every time he goes out. Because God is teaching him, yeah, my word is true. And then he'll expect him to bear the fruit of Jesus as time goes on. I've seen that happen in a lot of guys' walk with Christ. You can teach them healing, how to go out there and command the devil to get off of people, and the devil has to go because God has, you know, declared it. But as time goes on and they don't get their act together, so to speak, with the Lord, then the healing starts ceasing. I've seen that happen. So it's all according to your faith. If you're in sin, you know, you got to quit that. What makes our salvation is bearing fruit. And we do that by faith. Y'all all are starting to look like Jesus. I'm just telling you. Everybody in here looking like Jesus. Go ahead, Ben. Yeah, you are. You look just like him. Oh, my. All right. Has anybody got any more comments on what Sunil is bringing up here? Some good questions, Sunil. Thank you. Let's see, what is today? The 9th. 15 more days. Ooh, my goodness. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? All right, has anybody got any more questions or comments or statements of fact? Yeah, Joe.
So I just remember now, I did have a prayer request. Sorry, but it's a bit late. On my way to that conversation with the other guy, I stopped at the gas station just to check the water and the fuel and the tires. So one of the car's tires was a bit deflated, and he checked about it just now. He's got a little bit of leak. And I say to him, no, I'm going to pray the Lord's going to heal that for me. But the lady next to me heard that. She says, no, don't worry. I'll pay for you for that. Don't worry about that. I'll pay for you for that. I says, no. So I said, thank you, Lord. That gives me opportunity to talk to her. So I stopped and talked a little bit about her and given her a real good news track. So I just want to pray for, I think her name is Anel. And Lord, thank you for the time. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the opportunity to spread the gospel and tell about that we're dependent on you for everything. You're our supplier, protector, and divider, and your healer. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for now for Anel to open an opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to give her a real good snack, real good news track. Just make it a little bit of think about where she are in her life. And that you can open up and explore more about you, Father God. And to learn more about you, and you can open up your scriptures for her. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Bless her, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I want to pray for my neighbor. Lord, I lift up Harvey to you, and I thank you, Father, for doing a work in him. And I break the power of the enemy off of him that has kept him from the Lord. And I thank you, Father, for granting repentance to Harvey and bringing him in, Lord, showing the unforgiveness has to go. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. He's a good man. He just deceived. And I praise you, Father, that once you get him into the kingdom, that you're going to completely heal him of this cancer that they have told him that he's got. And I praise you for doing that for Harvey. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right. Anybody else? I cast down every word curse, witchcraft curses that are spoken against this fellowship in the name of Jesus as null and void. You do not, cannot, and will not from this point on speak curses against it. We bind you from doing that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for complete protection upon all of you, your people here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I was reading yesterday. And you know how sometimes you kind of nod off? I don't know if any of y'all ever done that. No, y'all don't know. Okay. All right. Anyway, I nodded off. And I had a real short dream. It was a perfect dream. And it was about somebody that was throwing witchcraft against a couple of our women. Yeah. And, of course, I told them, when I went down and got David, we prayed against it right then. And I believe it's already taken care of. It's already done. We break the power of the enemy off of anybody that's in our fellowship in Jesus' name. I'm talking about the outreach also in Jesus' name. It was two of our women that are expecting. Mm-hmm. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Yeah, I know. You're all right now. You didn't lean above. Amen. God is good, isn't he? He warns us when these attacks, before they ever start. And all we got to do is just come up against them and bingo. We're safe. Praise God. That's faith. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, George. How you doing, brother?
Oh, you know, I wake up, I fall asleep, and sometimes I listen to the fellowship two or three times, or I'm answering questions 3 weeks late or whatever it is, but I'm just thinking about what does it look like to know no man after the flesh, including ourself. And if we look at ourselves in the flesh, are we disobeying? And if we think about it, the stamp of Jesus on our life that becomes so deep that old man is gone. All people and all we see is that icon, that stamp of Jesus. Then we'll walk like Jesus. And I just speak over everybody here that we will only do and say what we hear and see our Father in heaven do and say, that we'll go ahead and walk in the fullness, because that is the mark. The mark and the goal is fullness of Jesus Christ walking on the earth, representing and being the ambassadors that he's called us to be. And it should be a little bit of a surprise to us when we walk in that, but we need to go ahead and fix our mind not to be surprised, but to keep walking in that fullness as much as possible, and to keep reminding ourselves of who we are, that we died on the cross with Jesus, and now it's no longer we that live, but he lives through us. And he's ready to take control in a big way. And the world and the works of the enemy around us are begging for the sons of God to manifest. So I just speak boldness and obedience and a willingness to be a vessel. It's like there's no more car on the roller coaster. We are the car. So when we go just rushing through this world, wrecking the enemy, we need to just throw our hands up and surrender and say, we, and go for it. And that, that's what he wants to do. He is so ready to be King Jesus in a way. I saw a meme or something I saved. Let me see real quick. It's, come on. Psalm 102:15, the nations shall fear thy name, O Lord, and all kings thy glory. And it's a picture of every continent just glowing on the outskirts from the glory of God just taking over. And I just, you know, not to get stupid or wordy, but I just want to believe that we are a generation that bride, you know, what is the man child going to feed the bride in the wilderness? But that fullness, you know, this is it. Without spot or blemish, he's coming back for this bride. So, you know, I look around me and I just say the harvest is ripe. And if not us, I can't even, you know, I bow and honor those Christians in the world who have been refined through suffering and are, you know, Jesus has stepped in and they are hearing from heaven. And I just claim that for each of us too. I don't see why we can't hear our Father constantly and deliver the bread to the world every day. And I repent of my own disobedience and fear of man. And I ask for a spirit of obedience, a spirit of enlightenment and just joy unspeakable that will guide us. It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. So Father, I just ask you to help us overcome the flesh and fear, and to grasp this joy of the future life that you've got us planned for, to walk this all the way straight into heaven. There's no need for any of us to pass on through weakness of the flesh, that we can just glorify you by believing for everything you've got for us, Father, this generation. So, Father, we welcome you and we look for your coming. But we look for your coming in and through us first. Father, we love you. We love you so much. And we love the world that's dying too, Lord. We want to see your name glorified in all the earth that brings fear to the whole world, including these so-called kings, Lord, these so-called leaders, that there will be a fear that grips them when they see the true representation of King Jesus and his kingdom in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I receive that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us of our sins, of distraction, anything, Lord, that goes against your word. And I praise you, Father, that you are putting us into that place where you want us to only listen to you And I praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Yeah, let every voice that speaks contrary to you, to your word, Lord, be silenced right now out of me or anybody of my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And let all of our thoughts and every thought that we have be nothing but understanding, that it be by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Everything that we think about, even that comes against the word, Lord, give us the wherewithal to just immediately cast it down. And let the mind of Christ be established in every one of us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, my goodness gracious sakes alive. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in us right now. Praise God forevermore. Anybody else? Ooh, that's good, George. Thank you so much. All right, anybody else got a question, answer, or a comment? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, it's this 2 Corinthians 6:16. If he's supposed to walk in us, okay, God dwells in us and walks, and we're supposed to walk with God, and we're supposed to imitate God, and as beloved children, and walk in love, and the love is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's faith that worketh love. And the faith, the righteous live by faith. And because are we supposed to put our feet in his feet where he's walking? And they're Jesus' feet too, because he abides in the Father. Right? And we abide in Jesus because we have new life and we want him. We want the Father to lead us and guide us in this walk. You know, like the way I picture it is like he's got a walk for us, and it's like footprints in the snow, and we have to follow them. You know, And of course, the sanctuary is interesting because the sanctuary has a light in it, a lamp, if I'm correct, and the table, the showbread table, which has the loaves of bread in it, which would be Jesus, because he's the bread of God which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So, for what agreement has God's sanctuary with idols? So, you know, it's this walk thing that's really, you know, you get verses popping into your head about walking in the light, you know, and thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, if he's going to dwell in us and walk, you know, that's a real interesting verse, you know. I know that sometimes we face persecution in our walk, and, you know, people say we're, you know, like they might say, well, there's Andrew, you know, he's one of them born again, so let's go get him, you know. And they're not really nice to you, or some of the things they say, like you said something about that, it was kind of humorous actually. What you're going to do on the weekend?
Well,
Cotswold and say kumbaya over there. Anyway, so you know, there's the walk in truth, you know, and all these variables where it talks about walking with God. You know, you think about even like Enoch walking with God. You know, he was 365 years when they took him, you know, the same amount of days that they're in a year, you know. You come to the winter first, and then you get the springtime, and the summertime, and the fall, you know, it's a whole year. He was 365 years old when God took him, and he went to heaven alive. So I was just wondering if that, how he walked with God and how Adam walked with God and how Jesus walked with God and how we're all supposed to walk with God. So, you know, it's a good thing to meditate on, I guess. I just wanted to make that comment. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Nick, you fixed to go to work?
Yep, I am.
Okay, buddy. You have a good work night tonight, okay?
I work tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow. All right, buddy. Have a good evening then. Sleep well. Wake up in the morning supernaturally energized, buddy. You'll bound out of that bed, go to work, have a great day, because the Lord's going to bless you.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
You will.
Bless you.
Thank you. I'll see you.
All right. God bless.
Bye.
All right. Missy, you awake? Oh, yeah, she's awake now. Praise God. Anybody else? Got anything you want to comment on? We got about 8 minutes. I'll tell you what. Don't mind if I read this word again? I'm going to read this word again. You do mind? I don't care. I'm going to say it anyway. All right. Here it is. Here's the word of the Lord from 4/19/2024. This is the time to stop thinking about yourself. A mind on self is a worldly mind. Put it far from you. This is the time to have your mind focused on what I am doing and how I am going to do it. And how I will use you and move through you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient to his Father. He was not obedient to his own inclinations. He had none of his own inclinations. He was totally yielded to every thought and way of his Father. And now you must be yielded to only me and my way of thinking. My way is love. My way is also judgment. And my way is mercy. Think on these things. Come before me ready to let me speak to you the things on my heart that you will intercede from a heart ready to fulfill my will in this time. I have given you authority to bind and loose. And so let this mind be in you. Listen to me. I have an agenda. I want to speak to each heart and mind who wants to line up with what I'm doing. Warfare. Do warfare. Are you taking in my word? You will know. Oh, I'm sorry. As you are taking in my word, You will know how to pray, and you will know what I precisely want you to warfare against. Do you see this thing I have called you to? Are you getting it? It is nothing about yourself or of yourself. It's my will. You are in my army. You are called to be soldiers. You are called to set yourself apart from the things of this world. Repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Renew your mind with the things that make for peace through prayer, which is my will for you to do each day. There's only peace in that. There's no striving. Are you going to give yourself up to what I have need of you for? There's only peace in giving up. And there is a work that needs to be done. Wars for souls that need to be won. Feel the freedom. My thoughts for your thoughts. Yes, Lord. Glory be to God. My ways for your ways. My desires for your desires. Let us build the kingdom together. I can do it without you, but it would mean casting you aside. Oh, my people, how that thought breaks my heart. My people, hear the word of your Lord. Think on these things and act accordingly. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't have the word for David that goes at the end of that. Thank you, Father. That's a good word, too. Just carries on what Debbie was talking about. The Lord told her. I try to read that every day to get myself focused on what I need to do. And I think that's a good thing. Anybody else? Ah, there it is. Julie got it in there. When you're free from self, that's when you have the calm in your storm. Where'd it go? Did you take it out? Huh. It disappeared.
It's back.
Do what? Okay, there it is. Well, where was I? When you're free from self, that's when you have the calm in your storm. When you're free of self, that's when the sea splits so you can reach the other side. When you're free of self, only then can you love me and the ones around you. When you're free from self, that's when you will be able to enter my presence. Am I worthy enough for you to give yourself up to be with me? Yes, Lord, place it in our hearts to do that every day. Place it in our hearts to want to walk your walk, Lord, and to get free from this old self that we have that has hindered us for so many years. And I thank you, Father, that we are looking like Jesus every day, more like him every day. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. And I ask and I pray that you put this in all of our hearts, Lord, to imprint it in our brain. And I praise you for doing that, Lord, that we would all get rid of self, want to get rid of self, desire to get rid of self and the world, and to run after you with everything that we've got. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Pat. How you doing, brother? Amen. Well, all right. Anybody got a prayer request before we sign off tonight? Amen, George. Lord, I just cast down all severe weather anywhere near any of our people in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for splitting the clouds and letting nothing but moonlight in the whole night in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we are all protected. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Yeah, Joe.
I just want to pray as well. Lord, Okay. Thank you for the time for my back with my family. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us closer. Lord, I know the more closer we get to you, the less of self is. Thank you, Father, for working in our hearts. Thank you for your patience, for your grace that with us each day, that we go sometimes our own way. Thank you for drawing us only because of your grace, Father God. You are so awesome, God, holy and righteous. Help us to be holy. Help us to be focused on the things at hand. That the only thing that's important is your word. Let us keep in the word and only word to listen to. Thank you for drawing us. Thank you for being our Father God. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of our families and friends that we've been praying for. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed, you hear?